Father God, we give you again all the praise that this may always be about you as we lift high the name of Jesus. And I pray that as your spirit moves and leads us, that today you will remove scales from eyes, that you will open ears to the message that you have, so that today this small town faceless preacher will step to the side and allow God to do, allow you to do through Christ and the Spirit what you want to do. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, and all the credit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I love the Gospel of John as we've been working through this. And I've mentioned the last couple weeks this the beautiful piece of the Gospel of John is when you write a letter with a purpose, on purpose, with an audience, and with a goal, right? Like, I write you a letter, I write you that letter because I want to say something to you. I might say several other things, but all of those things are ultimately to achieve the why of the letter. Gospel of John was written to a non-believing world. He says this in John chapter 20, specifically saying, I've written this letter because I want you to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that by believing his name, you will have eternal life. That you will have eternal life. That you will have eternity in heaven, everlasting life, everlasting joy and worship in the presence of God. That's why it's there. And he followed that up, and 98 different times in the text, he uses the word believe. He's writing this, and Matthew used it 11 times, Mark used it 14 times, Luke used it 9 times, but John says 98 times, I want you to know, I'm writing this because I want you to believe, because I want you to have eternal life. So that's why we so often, if you're out and about and you meet somebody that's, or you're spending time with someone who's a non-believer, and they say, what do I do? What do I read? Where do I start? Point them to the Gospel of John. If you're in that boat today, you're like, I don't know about this whole Bible thing. I don't know about this whole Jesus thing. Go home and get yourself a Bible that you can understand and open it up to the book of John and ask God to speak to you and teach you, and just read and see what he has to say to you. Ask him to open your heart. I knew a pastor one time who spent a little bit of time in England doing youth ministry, and he's over there in England, and he said there was this really bad teenager they just could not control this kid, and he said he's walking around telling everyone he's an atheist, and he said God gave me this idea, and I just said to him, I said, hey kid, how many times a day do you go to the bathroom? And he said, 2 or 3. Well, how long does that take you? 10 minutes every time. He said, okay. Every time you go to the bathroom, I want you to read a little bit of the book of John. Reading John on the John. I shouldn't say that in church. He did that every day as he worked through the Gospel of John. And by the end of the week, God had opened his heart and he believed. Not because the preacher said it, not because it was suggested, not because of the coincidence, but because God is living and breathing in the text, and it is written with a purpose, and the purpose is wanting us to believe and follow Jesus. So if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to open up to John chapter 3. This is the famous famous born again chapter of the Bible. This is the first time that Jesus teaches us about what it is to be born again and calls into a lost world to be saved by being born again and inheriting the kingdom of God. So since Jesus walked the earth, there have been segments of Christianity that have talked about being born again. But it wasn't until really kind of the Billy Graham era, kind of in 1976 when Jimmy Carter was running for president and he announced to the world that he was a born again Christian. And then Charles Colston was working for Nixon and got caught up in Watergate and went went to prison and gave his life to Christ in prison and then wrote a book called Born Again, that this phrase, born again Christian, that is saturated across America has become such a big thing, but it's not just a fancy thing to say. It's not just an idea that some preacher had or some president had or some Christian group had, but it's founded in the Word of God and the mission of Christ that we must be born again. So many of us live our lives in this country where we are just saturated with the gospel, saturated with churches. You drive around every small town in America and you're gonna see 5, 10, 15 churches on every corner, right? Like, if you wanna go to church, you can find a church. People, oftentimes we grow up in church. We hear the message of Jesus to the point where, like we talked about at Christmas with the Fresh Eyes series, how we want to see it with fresh eyes, but the challenge is we hear it all the time. So a lot of times it's in one ear, out the other, but it never connects. So we get to this point sometimes where we say, well, I know, I believe in God. I believe in the Bible. I believe, I'm good. Yeah? Yeah, I'm good, right? But Jesus calls for a little bit more action. He calls for a little bit more of, I have decided to follow Jesus. So I want to talk to you today about conditions. Conditions that we have in life. Conditions that to get to what we want to achieve, to get to what has been given to us freely. Life is full of conditions, right? You want to get somewhere, you got to do certain things to get to where you want to go. You want to be a doctor, you've got to go to 17 or 27 years of medical school or something like that. Like, half your life is over, but now I can practice, right? Like, some of you are in those fields, and I know you understand that better than I do. There are things that you have to do, conditions and steps that are necessary to get to where you want to be, to achieve what you want to achieve, to be qualified for what you want to be qualified for, to get to the good part, to get to where you want to get to reaping the benefits. Let me start here. In chapter 3 of the book of John, there was a man by the name of Nicodemus who was a Pharisee. And Nicodemus, if you were familiar with the Pharisees were a people who, these were the educated, the teachers of the law, of the Jewish law of the day, and they were constantly after Jesus, constantly after John the Baptist, constantly tearing them down. John the Baptist actually referred to the Pharisees as a brood of vipers, as like baby snakes in a nest. And he's like, they're always coming after me. Nicodemus was one of these guys. He comes to Jesus at night secretly, and he says this to Jesus. He says, Rabbi, we know, we, the Pharisees, we know. Okay, so we know, we're trying to cut you out at the knees constantly, but I want you to know, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. Because no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered him. Jesus does this all the time, right? Jesus cuts through the fluff and Jesus just hits it on the nose. He doesn't want to talk about all of these accolades that Nicodemus is throwing at him. He doesn't want to talk about all of these compliments that he's getting. He just wants to say real quick, all right, here's what really matters. Here's what really matters. If you want to get what you want to get, he says this in verse 3. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus comes with praise. And Jesus says, you need to be born again. You want to get what you want to get? You want to get to where you want to get to? You want to achieve heaven, Because he's speaking into a man who has been searching, a man who knows, a man who studies, a man who is theologically educated, a man who is teaching others about what it means to follow God. He's a teacher in Israel. And Jesus says, you know what? You've been searching. You've been looking. You've been researching. You've been studying. You've been going through all of these steps. Good. But let me tell you a necessary condition that has to happen. If you want to get where you want to get, if you want eternity, if you want everlasting life in heaven, you must be born again. Life has conditions and life has steps. If you read on, you'll notice that John has this ongoing comparison of Jesus teaching, John presenting Jesus has this ongoing comparison of being born of water, like the flesh as humans, born physically, and then being born of the Spirit. He continues to draw on this comparison of how being born of the Spirit is a mystery that we can't understand, but it's a necessary condition that we have. Where are we trying to get to is a place of joy. Now, many of you probably know I'm a young father. So my wife is currently pregnant with our third kid. This is our first daughter, due on March 14th. We're very excited about this. It's going to be wonderful. It's such a blessing. I love being a dad. I love having little kids. Every time one of them learns something and grows up, it's like, it's wonderful to see them growing. But there's also this like piece of me that's like, oh, stay too, you know, like, why are you don't need me as much anymore kind of thing. Like, it's just fun to see them grow, but you kind of, you miss those pieces as you go. But here's the reason I share that. I'm in now my third time. My wife would say this a little bit differently, but this is the third time now that I've seen my wife go through the process of pregnancy. So what happens? There are conditions in order to get to the point, to get to that joyful moment of new life. Because I've experienced it twice now, and I'm about to experience again that moment where new life comes into the world physically. Where the baby is born and Kinsley smiles with joy and the nurses smile with joy and I smile with joy and it's just like everything has come. Like, but there's a process to get there. And there's this journey where for 9 months, there's this Jesus and God knitting together this baby in Kinsley's womb. And that comes with a lot of physical pain, a lot of trials, a lot of expansion, right? A lot of things happening in her life and all of it kind of leading up to an ultimate moment, hopefully moment, right, ladies, not ours, of anguish. And then after all of those steps, after all of that process, all the way through that anguish, comes that moment of joy and celebration because new life has been born. To give you some parallels, when someone is in a position like Nicodemus that is seeking after some answers, and there are many of us, I think all of us at some point want to know why we're here. All of us at some point want to know what happens at the end. Where are we going? But Nicodemus was a guy, like many of us, who knew that at the end of his physical life, he would find what? Death. And when he found death, he knew that on the other side of death, there would be two options. It would be eternity in heaven or eternity in hell in payment for his sins. He wanted heaven. So he was seeking after Jesus in the same way that he was seeking before to find that through the law and through the works that he was doing, he was trying to be good enough to get to heaven. And Jesus said to him, you want to get what you want to get, you must be born again. I picture this journey that you may be on if you're a non-believer and you're wondering, is Jesus who he says he is? And I parallel that with pregnancy as I kind of see this idea at conception of, well, wait a second, like we all get to that moment, right, in our non-believing life, wherever you're at today, you get to that moment where you think, well, wait a second, what am I doing? Why am I here? Where am I going? What is the purpose of it all? Am I really just here to live 80, 90, 100 years and then disappear? What's the point of it all? That moment of conception where we begin to search for more. And then you begin that journey through talking to friends and attending churches and studying random religions online and looking for who's this, where, and why, and what does it really look like? And then you get deeper and deeper and ask more and more questions, and then you hear about Jesus and you're like, wow, really, that's it? Like, are you, so I believe in Jesus and I confess my sins and I'm, no. In my humanness, there's got to be more to it than that. Faith, really? It just takes faith and grace, and I'm forgiven. And no. I like what these guys over here in the Middle East do because I feel like I can check some boxes and know where I'm getting. Like I feel like I can know what self-actualization feels like. I feel like I can know that I'm good enough, or just continue down this path. Nah, that's not good enough. So we start asking more and more questions, and we have all these peripheral ideas. And as we go, the pregnancy continues. We get bigger and bigger and bigger and closer and closer and closer to what is it that God has in store for me? The questions get harder and deeper and tougher. The anguish and the pain gets worse and worse. But as you go, you kind of begin to reach this point where it seems evident to you that no matter how many times you go after the Bible, no matter how many times you challenge the Christian, no matter how many times that you creep up to the waters, there's something to this gospel thing that you can't see in any other faith. There's something in these Christian people, even though they're not perfect, even though they still fail, but there's something happening here that I can't put my finger on. As you get closer and closer to the day where somebody, be it a preacher, be it a radio preacher, an internet preacher, a TV preacher, a friend over coffee, or you sitting in your den with a Bible and opening to the right scripture as God leads us, there's that moment where you hear God say, you need to stop. Stop looking at all of these peripheral things and just know that if you want to achieve eternal life, you just need to be born again. And there's that moment, that condition, a necessary condition that we must all achieve, that we must all experience prayerfully, that God will bring us to. That moment where you just know, I believe. And in that moment that may be similar in the anguish, because it's that moment where your heart is exploding, because you're just like that moment where you come to where I see, okay, wait a second, I am a sinner, I am condemned, the wages of my sin is death, and I do deserve hell, and wait a second, I can't do this myself, because no matter how many steps I take, no matter how hard I try, I can never be good enough to step into heaven. I can't do it. I'm trying, I'm sweating, I'm wearing myself out. I'm so anxious all the time because I don't want death. I want life. And you get to that point where the Holy Spirit just overwhelms you and says, okay, I'm a sinner. I'm guilty. Guilty as charged, deserving of hell. Thank you, Jesus, for taking my sins to the cross. And at that moment of anguish, If you take that moment of anguish and instead of swallowing it down and ignoring it and saying, no, that can't be enough. No, I'm not ready to count the cost. No, I'm not ready to follow Jesus because I'm too busy following myself or following the world. But it's at that moment where you get to make that decision. Will I listen to the voice of God? Or will I choose to keep searching and looking at peripheral things? And it is in that moment of anguish, a moment of anguish that in the physical world, the pregnant wife doesn't get to make that choice, but you get that moment where am I going to plug away and get to the joy and get to the peace of knowing that the weight is lifted off of me and I now experience the weightlessness of glory? Or am I going to turn around and I'm going to say, no, that can't be enough. That can't be enough. There has to be more boxes to check. I'm not ready to surrender it. I want to hold on to it. But just like the physical pregnancy, years of searching, years of wondering, years of hoping and praying come to that moment where the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jesus taking your sins to the cross, dying a sinner's death for a sinner who still hated him, you, me, the other guy, and then victoriously raising on the third day, victory over death and hell and sin for you, taking your punishment. When that becomes real to you and you accept it and you surrender, confess your sins and lay them at the feet of Jesus, say, you are the Lord and Savior of my life. That is the moment, like the moment in March probably whenever Kinsley and I welcome this new baby girl into the world, where the whole room, your whole heart, your whole life overwhelmed and filled with joy. Because now, you found the answer. You found the necessary condition to have eternal life. The necessary condition to have heaven, to be saved. To be saved. And this is what's so beautiful. Is that in verse 16 is the famous, if you watch football, you know John 3:16, right? If you've ever watched football and seen a field goal post, it's back there somewhere. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have an everlasting life. God sent his son into a world that hated him. That's what world means in that passage. It meant into people that don't want anything to do with him. People that are constantly rejecting him. You and me and the other guy again, right? But it's because he loved us and he wanted us to have everlasting life. Everlasting life. And whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, so that the wrath of God no longer remains on him. Because Jesus took that punishment for you. My prayer for you today, my hope for you today, my invitation for you today. It's like last week when we talked about Jesus saying, just come and see. Come and see. Come and see who I am and who I want to be to you. Why are you still searching whenever the Bible clearly shows you the answer? You must be born again. You must be saved. There's a lot of people who say, oh, I believe in the Bible, I believe in God. But have you repented of your sins? Or you just playing Christian? You just playing church? My heart breaks for you. For anybody who just plays church. For anybody who just knows how to look the part. because hell is an awful place of weeping and gnashing of teeth that I don't want any of us to go to. And especially for those of us who have heard the gospel and rejected it, hell is an awful place to be. But you don't have to stay on that path, because Jesus has given us the path to salvation and the path to everlasting life, that our eternal destiny can be a place of joy and worship, to lift high the name of Jesus, because by his righteousness alone, I can have a chance of getting in, right? Don't clean up your mess so that you can come to the cross. Come to the cross and let him clean up your mess. So I invite you to turn off the peripheral things, to turn off all of these other conditions that you're trying to fill in, and to just do what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Say, hey, if you want admittance into the kingdom of God, if you want heaven, you must be born again. You must confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. And you will be saved. And you will be saved. And you will go from the anguish, from the exhaustion, from the discomforts, to a place of joy and peace and rest, and experience the weightlessness of following Jesus. The worship team is going to come up and they're going to lead us in a song called Christ is Enough. If you read through the Bible, read through the New Testament, you'll see over and over again that the apostles, as they write to the churches and to non-believers, they are constantly saying, listen, Christ is enough. Christ is all you need. You just need to lay your sins down before Jesus and let him do the saving. So I pray today that as we sing Christ is Enough, that today's the day that you stop searching and stop running and instead say, okay, Jesus, you win. You win. Thank you. I'm all yours. That's one of the reasons these altars are here. Won't you pray with me? Father God, I pray, Lord, that as we worship you and sing Christ is Enough, that your Holy Spirit speak to us, Lord. I pray that for the person that is sitting here today, that has been living this life, walking this path of anguish, and is suffering and searching and struggling for answers and trying to connect the dots and be a good enough this or a right enough that or work hard enough in this area, we'll see that if you truly want to have eternal life and enter into the kingdom of God, there is one necessary condition. You must be born again. Lord, I pray that if you are opening a heart to believe today and giving them and freely offering them the gift of faith, that today they will lay it down and say, I believe, I confess I am a sinner. Become the Lord of my life. Become the Lord and Savior of my life. Lord, I pray today that somebody in this place for the first time will be able to walk out of here singing, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Lord, we love you. We trust you. Change hearts, Lord. Do work that we can only dream to do. In Jesus' name, amen.